Well, good morning. My name is Wilson Wong, and this is a project that was initiated when I was a deputy director of health at IRC Liberia in 2011 and 2012. The IRC is short for International Rescue Committee, and is essentially a medium-sized NGO, about $500 million a year, that responds to social, education, health problems in the world that result from disasters and conflicts. I actually no longer work for the IRC, and that's why I brought the second author here, Augustine from Liberia. Augustine's going to give part of this presentation. If Augustine looks shocked or tired, it's just because he just experienced the New York City Halloween parade, the after festivities that basically just ended. So we decided to structure this presentation in terms of three themes. I even call them morals. One was that malaria is a really big problem in places like Liberia, even if you don't read about it. It's the top five killer in the world. The second moral is that there is a medicine called IV artesunate, a particular type of medicine that saves lives. But it still must compete for space on the shelves and space in people's minds in its utility. And finally, that it is possible to rapidly change people's behavior in very busy hospitals or clinics using simple checklists, essentially, that are logical, that don't make people do extra work, but remind people of the standard. We decided to structure our story, our presentation this way because we thought, well, if anything, people can learn from our experiences and challenges and travails and make it even better the next time. So this essentially is the standard outline of this presentation. We have no disclosures, financial and otherwise. So in terms of background, malaria is a killer. Anywhere between 600,000 to 1 million deaths a year, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, about 90%, and mostly in children, 5 and under, 50%. Test question, where is Liberia? Certainly after Ebola, everyone must know, right? It's essentially bordered by three countries to the northeast, Sierra Leone, sort of the north Guinea, and then on the south, on the east Ivory Coast. Well, how does malaria kill? Well, basically, there's a parasite called Plasmodium that exists in a particular genus of mosquito called Anopheles is laid into an animal host, which goes into red blood cells and replicates to the point that when it's ready, then it will burst those cells. Right here is that arrow indicates the inclusion of the malaria trophozyte that is basically increasing its numbers. Well, there are four species of malaria, but only one species kills, and it's called Plasmodium falciparum, and this is an invasion of that. How falciparum causes clinical disease is that after bursting red blood cells of humans and other animals, it deprives the body of the cells that are necessary for oxygenation of tissues, and then the cell fragments can literally get caught in the vasculature or cause a systemic, generalized, horrible response that clinically is known as severe malaria. And that definition would be right there. Essentially, multi-organ collapse. Well, when it rains, it pours. It turns out there's only one species of Plasmodium falciparum that exists. I'm sorry, one species of Plasmodium that exists in Liberia, and it is P. falciparum. Liberia is about one quarter the size of California with 4 million people. It suffered a 20-year, essentially, civil war, 1989 1980 to 2003, and therefore shows some of the health consequences. Next test question, what is that? MMR, CMR, NMR. Those are usually very standard international health indices of how a country is doing in terms of their health progress. So MMR is maternal mortality rate, the number of pregnant women that would die in their lifetime. That's 770. What do you think it is in the U.S.? Seven. Child mortality rate is death of children less than 5 years old. That's 75. Guess what it is in the U.S.? Seven. And last one, NMR, neonatal mortality rate, death of infants less than 1 month old. It's 31 in Liberia, and it is 4 in the U.S. So, in the end, 15% of all Liberians will die of malaria in their lifetime. And I just think it's fair to say that until you address this issue, that it'll be very difficult to progress past some of these indicators. Well, this is what severe malaria looks like. Prostration, change in mental status, anemia, dehydration, vomiting. And this is what recovery looks like. And generally, people can recover if they get the right medicine. And sometimes they cannot recover as well as you see in the right picture. I think she'll get better, but she had encephalopathy. You can see she's sort of stiff. But I thought she was going to be dead. But she's getting much better. Well, there's three basic types of treatment for severe malaria. There's quinine or quinine, there's artesunate, and artemether. Quinine actually has been developed since the 17th century and really was a life-saving drug from 17th century on. It's from this tree. I'm not going to pronounce it because it will be incorrect. But about in the 1960s, a better drug was found. It was called IV artesunate. And it was developed under the communists, under Mao, in the march down to Ho Chi Minh. It was found in multiple studies to be far superior to quinine. The Aquamont study of 11 centers in 9 African countries showed that it decreased death in kids by 22% relative to quinine. And in the Sia Aquamont study in Asia showed that it decreased deaths by 38% in adults. So definitely a superior drug. You can also see by the description of how you give it that it's much easier. And finally, there's artemether, which is also of the same group as artesunate. They're both from the artemisinin. They're both artemisinin compounds. It's also a good drug. It's better than quinine, but not as good as artesunate because it has to be given intramuscular. It's an oily-based concoction. Okay, so basically the story, the whole setup, is that we were approached by the Clinton Foundation in 2011 under the auspices of the Ministry of Health to say, hey, let's bring artesunate for the first time in Liberia to the pediatric centers that were overseen by the International Rescue Committee. These pediatric centers are called JDJ and Redemption. And they're essentially, you see on the right, very busy hospitals, 100-bed pediatric units, always full, many admissions, most for malaria, 5% all-cause mortality, which is actually okay, but you can see 25% neonatal mortality. So our methods, we focus on JDJ because we have influence over, JDJ and Redemption, because we have influence over those hospitals in terms of supply, staffing, funding, systems. Later we focused only on JDJ because we get kicked out of Redemption, which I'll mention in the challenges. We decide, what do you do in a country where there's only 100 doctors in the whole country, where they have just as difficult, complex health problems as we health system problems as we have in this United States? We decided, okay, we're going to come up with a checklist which essentially lays out how to diagnose and treat malaria properly. It takes the place of the standard medical chart and also gives reminders of why we do the things that we do. We'll see an example of that in a second. Now, Augustine is going to talk about how we actually implemented it. Back then, I basically told people what to do, but then people like Augustine made sure that it happened. So he's going to talk about how that we got people to use the checklist and give the IV artesunate.
Good one. Well, basically, the entire initiation started just with me. and making sure that we have some money conference that will educate people regarding the administration of antisony, and doing one-on-one mentoring of all the clinicians in the emergency room, and also making sure that we follow the patients from the emergency room to the pediatric ward and also the ICU to make sure that people follow the checklist. In addition to that, I will just give one example. We really brought in doctors from other parts of the country on the IRC just to make sure that based on what he just said, the limited availability of doctors in Liberia, but people come with different background in terms of treatment of malaria or other diseases, so we make sure just to make people to be on the same page based on our checklist that you can have the treatment based on what is provided in the checklist. So on one instance, we heard a doctor that, you know, rule out and just cross out the antisony and try to put a patients on quinine. Then it was like, oh, why are you doing this? Why are you going to take from IV antisony to quinine when you have not even experienced side effect, or you have not gone through review process for even 24 hours, then you want to, you know, switch to another drugs. So those are instances, and we came in just to make sure that people did the right thing and we move forward.
Okay, then after we implement, 4 months later, we wait 4 months, and then we do look at the proportion of people that are diagnosed with malaria correctly and that get the proper treatment, and then how many survive. And then we look at people for 4 months, and then we'll compare with a period 4 months earlier when we didn't have the intervention. Just to give you a little quick look at this checklist, essentially you can confirm signs and symptoms. So if you're a new doctor, you don't really know what malaria looks like, severe malaria, you just sort of see, okay, this is where you do it, and you check and indicate what the patient has, and if something applies, then you'll put an X, and then you'll fill in the appropriate numbers. You can see sometimes we don't even give you an option to do certain things like malaria smear. We just don't even list it on the checklist, so we force people into a particular type of practice. This is what the standard medical chart looks like in most of sub-Saharan Africa and probably the world. Almost impossible to audit, impossible to see what people are doing, and filled with mistakes. That's history, physical exam, and that's treatment. So these are our findings. Essentially, we see that after this intervention, that everyone diagnosed correctly severe malaria, actually 97-93% between the 2 years. But you see that a little bit above the two, that we could put everyone just to do the rapid diagnostic test with this checklist. That's every smear takes 30 minutes to do. You can see if you do 100 in a day, you'll incapacitate the laboratory. So we were able to see that. We also saw that that we could change the use of artesunate to 77% from 0%, right? And then we had an interesting finding that no one actually really used quinine, but they were using artemeter, right? They were using artemeter 91% of the time in 2011. And finally, we were able to show that we were to change things like use of antibiotics. So these are the findings that we had on deaths. We found that before, that we'd have 67 deaths out of 707 patients in 2011. But after intervention, we'd have 48 deaths out of 811 patients, decreasing the proportion of dead from 9.5% to 5.9%. And that's a statistically significant, 35%. So the conclusion is that you can treat severe malaria and move it quickly towards the correct standard with logical interventions, with good feedback. That artesunate shows the same degree of impact in places like Liberia, but even greater impact, I think, that when it's structured in terms of a checklist, in terms of teamwork. Just two last things on limitations. This was the chart review, and you can see that this is a very difficult type of study to do. We have to cross-check charts with registries. We have to make certain assumptions. And finally, just lots of headaches when you practice care in places that are resource poor. We had the medical director at Redemption say at the last moment, oh, you can't come into our hospital. He actually right now is in jail, not for that. You know, sometimes you have stockouts. Sometimes you don't print the, you need to make sure that the checklists are printed out. So I'd like to thank the members on the panel for their presentations and learning from you. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to some of our experience. And I'd like to really thank patients and families in Liberia who don't usually suffer from disease. They usually look like this. Thank you very much.